The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm feeling manly, and you say it's coming in handy. Sliding my claws from New York down to North Virginia.
Oh, my God.
Tickling you around Delaware before I enter.
Oh, my God! Oh.
Face, hips to feet, a wiggle and jiggle can make the night complete.
Oh, jeez. God, I'm so sorry for making him do that, but it was so good. He killed it.
Our Ben and Woods notifications on Twitter are going a little nuts right now.
A little haywire.
The one that caught my attention from at Drunk Padre, listening to that rap battle that I just had with Coach John Quintero. Yep, really, it happened. He says, Mayo got beat down by cottage cheese.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I have a few people who
now
said I won.
Now we got mayonnaise man.
But I definitely think it's running pretty strong, 7 or 8 to 1 against me on this one.
Killed it. Can I just say, this would be one of those instances. People are very territorial in radio. If Jim and the coach decided they wanted to do their own Coach Reads Raps every Fridays, you have our permission. Have a ball. Like, please do it. He did such a great job.
The audio.
And I'm delighted. I'm
Rogers got my back.
All I want to do is zoom, 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 zoom.
Roger says,
boom, boom, boom.
Roger says, the winner and still champ, Ben Higgins SD. Excellent contribution by Coach Quintero, but I have to give the edge to Ben due to his complete lack of flow. Ben reads raps like he's reading instructions on how to build a dresser from IKEA.
That's true.
Exactly how it should be done.
I love that you said one pack, two pack, three pack for it's Pac.
Tupac Shakur?
Tupac.
Yeah. Do you have any idea what you rapped?
Not really. No.
So that was the
I got rid of it already.
The battle scene from 8 Mile, which is, let's go ahead and put that on the list of movies you've never seen.
True.
And it's amazing. It's the it's
probably, Eminem, I know about it.
Correct. Yeah, it's probably my favorite last scene of a movie ever. And that was the battle right there. So you guys are brilliant. I'm so happy today. That made my day.
All right, it is a Friar Friday, if we can get us back on track a little bit here on Ben and Woods. I know we're completely off the rails and it's probably pointless, but we do have Andy Green coming up in 30 minutes here at 8:35. Heading into the second half of the season, Woodsy, we got to set some expectations. I mean, I don't want to hit September, and if the Padres are 500 and they're 5 games out in the wild card, what are we going to say? That we're disappointed?
Hell
we're
no.
Happy they're still there? I mean,
yeah.
let's be clear about what we expect from the Padres in the second half and what we're going to consider, you know, acceptable for the 2019 season and what we're going to say, oh, they way exceeded expectations, or you know what, they fell a little short here in the second half. What are we actually looking for from this team?
I'm looking for continued growth, continued improvement. 500 is the goal.
So that's a winning record then. They went 500 in the first half. Continued growth means finished with a winning record.
I'm not going to judge a season on halves. I'm going to judge it as a whole. I'm going to judge it at the end of the year. But in the second half, dude, we ran the schedule yesterday, and September is one of the gnarliest schedules based on how teams have performed in the first half. It's one of the gnarliest schedules I've seen. I mean, you're talking a bunch of Dodgers, bunch of D-backs. It's basically a two-man race right now in the West between the D-backs and the Pods. Rockies still sniffing around as well. But, Benny, just keep winning series.
That's a winning record then. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. But you're saying you want to
maybe I don't know
you
is
want
the
to
right
see
answer.
Continued improvement.
Of course.
You want to see series one in the second half. If they do those things, even against a tough schedule, they should finish the year with a winning record. They're at 500 right now. If they finish 6 games under 500, then they had a losing record in the second half. It would be hard to say they improved throughout the second half if they had a worse record in the second half than they did in the first half.
No, I mean, and we know the goal of this season, at least. We set our own expectations as that we need to be a 500 ball club. We got to be at the end of the year, as it stands. And, hey, it was a tough road to get to 500. You know, it really was. There was some losing streaks. The winning streaks made up for it, but it's just about more consistent baseball. Better performance from the bullpen, I'd love to see. The starters have been what you'd expect from the youngest rotation in baseball. It's been what you'd expect.
Now, here's a very realistic scenario for the second half of the season that might at least appear disappointing based on the criteria you just threw out. Let's say a bunch of other teams in the National League, the Rockies, Diamondbacks, Brewers, they go out and they make some big-time additions, rentals. They give up a lot of their farm system to bring in players to help them in the here and now. Whereas the Padres, maybe they make a move, maybe they don't, but they're more careful about it. They want to make sure that they're thinking 2 and 3 years down the line, 5 years down the line, not just for the next couple of months. Those teams that make moves start taking off. The Padres, obviously, there's only, you know, one win and one loss for every game. They come back a little bit in the second half of the season and end up with a losing record. That's not out of the realm of possibility for what we could see here in the second half.
It is wild, though, and you bring up the D-backs, and I brought them up as well. They're looking to move Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke has been rumored to go to the Phillies. Have you seen that?
White flag. Zach Greinke's having a great season.
Yeah, that's what, if you could get rid of that contract, then you do it every time, I think, if you're the Diamondbacks, who are still in that weird, like, we think we're rebuilding, but we're not sure if we're rebuilding. We're adding, you know, veteran pieces, but those guys have played pretty well. It's that weird thing. At least we know, the Padres know what their plan is. I think there's a lot of teams out there. The Texas Rangers are one. The Texas Rangers went into this season with zero expectations. They're kicking ass right now, and they're like, oh, God, we brought in, like, Lance Lynn and Hunter Pence. All these guys are playing lights out, and they're like, okay, the plan has changed. We know what the Padres' plan is, and that's constant improvement. The window just got cracked. I'm not going to trade a bunch of guys for rentals. I'm not. That's not the move I make if I'm the Padres to rip that door
but that,
open.
That could put you at a disadvantage, at least in the short term, against teams that are willing
to mortgage
a bit of the future for rentals. And maybe a team like the Rangers, I mean, not in the National League, obviously, but in a team in that situation might say, oh, hey, surprise, let's go for it right now. So that's where I'm just trying to set here as we get ready to open the second half tonight at Petco Park. What, you know, we said at the beginning of the year 500. Is there any reason to change that now that we've hit the All-Star break?
I don't think so. Tim makes a good point. He tweets in and says, interesting stat. Padres currently have a 26-19 record against teams over 500. Their record against teams under 500 is horrid.
Well, obviously it's seven games under 500
right,
because they're 45-45 right now.
Exactly. So they're beating the better teams, which is, that's improvement, right? That's what you want. But man, it's
the inverse, 19-26, apparently.
You sit there and beat your head against the wall, losing games to the Pirates. And, you know, you got the Marlins here in a few days. It's like, oh, God. Those games, it feels like there's more pressure because you're supposed to win those. Let's see them string together. I want a really hot start. I'm begging for 2 out of 3 this weekend to get some really good pitching.
Of course, then the attention turns toward the trade deadline coming up here at the end of the month. I don't know if you read in the UT this morning. Definitely looks like the Padres would love to move Will Myers if they could at this point. That is a priority. It's also going to be the most difficult move that they could pull off right now. What can you do? We've talked about pairing him with Kirby Yates, using that to get his contract off the books. It would be so different if this were a Zach Greinke situation. If Will Myers was like killing it the last month, and teams are going like, okay, we can take that risk on Will Myers. The Padres might find some buyers, but he hasn't been. Ice cold at the wrong time, at least when you're trying to see what the market would be like for him out there. It's going to be pretty dry at this moment for Will Myers.
And, you know, we will be joined by Andy Green coming up around 8:35 this morning on a Friar Friday. Will Myers is a guy I want to ask Andy about, you know, and just going into the second half of the season, what do you do? He's in a precarious situation. He's in a situation that, you know, you want to play him. You want to, but you can't have him going at the rate he's been going. Striking out, you know, the bottom of that lineup, man, 1-5, 1-6 has been really, really solid. How do you find that bottom half that's going to contribute and help you win more games than you lose in the second half?
Let me jump out to our phone lines here, 833-288-0973. Andy Green in 22 minutes right now. Mike in Temecula has got some thoughts on the second half. Mike, welcome to Ben and Woods on a Fryer Friday.
Hey, guys. Hey, it's a great thing to have Ron Fowler as an owner because he's the man. He really is. And my point is through the whole year, we've always been told the guys are on pitch counts, the guys are on pitch counts. Well, towards the end of the year, those guys are going to be running out of innings,
yep.
And I know he's going to give AJ permission. He's going to have to get two pitchers. Now, I'm not saying Syndergaard or whatever, but if we're going to finish out the season strong and have a chance, he's going to have to get two pitchers to save the kids' arms. And I mean, dude, I'm so pumped up right now every time we talk about Padres. But I'm listening to you guys' comments, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's something. Thanks for the call, Mike. That's something that we've talked about Syndergaard. We talked about Matthew Boyd this morning from the Tigers and those rumors, Woods. What we haven't talked about is what could be a very realistic move, a very more middle of the road, you know, pedestrian type name. The price would be much, much lower, but someone who actually could eat a few innings in the second half. Now, getting Denelson Lamet back, you know, pushes everyone back a little. You have more options. As September gets around and Chris Paddock's innings are up and Matt Strom's innings are up, you could find yourself in a bit of a predicament for the last 3 weeks of the season.
Our old pal Pete in Point Loma tweets in, my Padres expectations, it's not necessarily in wins and losses. It's in developing the pitching and position talent. Any game where Myers, Hedges, or Kinsler starts is a wasted game. Okay, yeah, I mean, that's a fairly common theme that you're seeing on Padres Twitter because, yeah, you do want the youth movement, and can these kids play? Let's give them a shot in the second half to do so. I'm all for that. I really am. It's time to get Luis Urias up here. Plug him in at second base. If you got a DFA Ian Kinsler, you got a DFA Ian Kinsler. You just do. You're going to have to eat that money at some point. No one's going to want him. Nobody's going to want to trade for him. I'm good with that. I'm good.
We will see what Andy Green's expectations are. He joins us in 20 minutes. Coming up next, though, I have a bone to pick with a talking head in the sports media.
Oh, we're doing this again?
Yeah,
holy cow.
Got another one today. I don't know what it is.
Oh, my God.
This week, just feeling a little salty this week. That's coming up next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. I got a bit of good news this morning. We've been giving away such great stuff in our biggest fan contest, but coming up, they just announced the grand reopening of the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace. It's going to feature two nights of Keith Urban on September 6th and 7th. Keep listening to Ben and Woods and 97.3 The Fan, and we will let you know when tickets go on sale and how you can win a road trip to see Keith Urban at Caesar's Palace.
We are your home for country concerts. It's Ben and Woods.
Vegas.
I mean, it is unbelievable.
We are locked. I'd be happy to go see Keith Urban in Vegas, by the way.
Kayson down the hall is like, hey, we have some of those to give
they're
away?
They're giving away Gulls tickets.
Padres
we're giving
tickets.
Away Vegas road trips to country shows.
It's amazing.
It's Ben and Woods on a Fryer Friday.
What a day.
We've got Andy Green joining us in about 14 minutes. First, though, this segment of Ben and Woods brought to you by Golf Mart, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. And I will tell you what, Woodsy, I was not 100% satisfied with the NBA coverage that I got from ESPN.
Oh,
that's
your sports talking head you were going to go after.
Yes, I am.
Thought it might be somebody else.
Well, and everyone was wrong about Kawhi Leonard. Everyone was wrong. No one had him basically going to the Clippers. I understand that people make mistakes. What bothers me is when they mislead us without being fully upfront. And you can call it a bunch of guys. I'm going to call out Jalen Rose right now because Jalen Rose was the guy who said, I am 99% sure that Kawhi Leonard is going back to Toronto. And Jalen really made it seem that he had been hearing some things. You know, you figure a guy like that's pretty well connected, former player, ESPN, knows some people.
Absolutely.
I mean, he definitely had you thinking, okay, this has got to be about to happen. Blindsided by the news of Kawhi to the Clippers. Well, Jalen Rose came on the Get Up show on ESPN yesterday, and I mean, to his credit, he admitted he was wrong. We don't need you to admit that, though. We know you were wrong,
yeah,
Jalen.
And you're not in the minority, man. So, everybody was.
So here's the explanation. Again, this audio courtesy of ESPN, Jalen Rose on Get Up.
So here's the deal, though. While I was incorrect by my prediction about Kawhi, and by the way, we're in the projection business, the anticipating business, the relationship business about what's going to happen with players. Situations happen where guys do flip. And the 1% did actually take place. His name is Paul George.
Right.
Who saw that coming? Who knew a week ago that we would be talking about the Thunder already trading Paul George and about to trade Russell Westbrook? Did anybody talk about that?
I don't think the Thunder thought that.
How about that? So in the media, we did a good job of enlightening fans to let them know if Kawhi left all year, it would be to the Clippers. Now, by the way, I did say he's going to sign a 2-year deal, which he did.
There
Now,
he's like a spin myself.
I'm just giving you facts on facts. One other thing, because I want to own this.
All right.
So we waited all year for Anthony Davis to get traded. Who trades Kawhi? Who trades Paul George in 2 or 3 days? Sam Presti? Is he working with the Clippers?
All right, that was Jalen Rose on Get Up from ESPN. I get it. People are wrong. I'm not going to hold it against him forever that he got that wrong. What bothered me, Woods, is that he said we're in the prediction, the prognostication
sure.
business, and they are. That is part of it. But be upfront about that when you're telling us, hey, I got this feeling, you know, just based on, you know, all the factors, just the way I'm reading the tea leaves, I'm pretty sure he's going to go to Toronto. But when you say, I am 99% sure he's going to Toronto, that 1% flip doesn't hold a lot of weight for me.
Well, and again, I don't know why people in this business are so afraid to admit they're wrong. I do it all the time. I think it makes you, you know what it makes you? It makes you a human being. Like, hey, man, I couldn't have been more wrong about Hunter Renfro, in your case, Ben. I couldn't have been more wrong about this. I'll wear it. I'll own it. You hear him trying to...
Hunter Renfro is a loser.
Exactly. You hear him trying to paddle his way out of, you know, what he had said and was really convicted by. So just, hey, if everybody's wrong from time to time, if you're wrong, just wear it. You don't need to be like, I did predict he would sign a 2-year deal and he would be wearing green pants when he signed that deal. Like, no one cares. You were dead wrong. You assured us it was 99%.
That's okay. Yeah, that's the assurance that is where I'm having trouble. If he's just said, I predict that Kawhi Leonard is going to re-sign with the Toronto Raptors.
Great.
That's your job. You're not going to bat a thousand or be 100% right every time.
He actually is batting 100,
I think. He is batting 100. You can say that. You absolutely should be saying that. Don't tell me it's 99%. That carries a completely different meaning. That tells me that you are basically in the meetings and they are right to the stage of crossing T's and dotting I's.
Correct.
Kawhi was never that close. You tell me that there was 1% flip. He wasn't about to sign a deal in Toronto and all of a sudden Kawhi Leonard was the one who made the Paul George trade happen. He was thinking about this the whole time.
Kawhi Leonard was behind the scenes doing what the exact opposite of what everybody thought he was doing. I mean, he was so sly and surreptitious about everything he was doing. It was so smart the way he did it. And hey, it left everybody in that business with egg on their face.
All right. Just a couple of thoughts. We've got Andy Green joining us at 8:35. It is our Friar Friday. Looking forward to that. It is brought to you this week by Penske Honda Chula Vista, and we thank them for jumping on board our Friar Friday. I know that Greg Garcia is going to be joining Gwen and Chris this afternoon as well. He has quickly become one of my sneaky favorite
same.
Padres.
Absolutely
on the
same,
roster.
Buddy. Yep.
You know, part of it is obviously the local connections, but I'm looking forward to that. And we got a second half to look forward to with Andy Green. I gave him a B plus, A minus when
yeah.
we did our grades earlier this week.
I think so.
You were a little more harsh.
That was like a C, C plus.
With Andy Green. Yeah. See what he thought about the Padres' first half, what's coming up in the second half as well. You were going to say something? No.
Was I?
I thought you were.
No, I burped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just burped.
That's what I was a little confused.
Just heard
by.
Me go.
Looked like you were about to
give me
like something. No, some wisdom was about to emanate
it was
from
gas.
Woods,
and it was just gas coming out of my throat. That kind of gas. put out of my throat. No, I always look forward to talking to the skipper. I like Andy Green. I've said it before. I think he's a great dude. You know, people are going to light us up. They want us to hold his feet to the fire.
Yeah, well, let's set our expectations. We're not getting any trade. There's no bombshell likely going to be dropped.
No.
Like, we just acquired Noah Syndergaard. And he's not going to, even if he knows, he's not going to tell us how close they are in that sort of thing. It doesn't, it doesn't behoove Andy to make that.
Andy, are we trading for Noah Syndergaard?
Yeah.
Okay, breaking news right here on Ben and Woods. You heard it right there.
Yeah.
But, plenty to get to. How he's going to manage the pitching rotation in the second half of the season, what the return of Denelson Lamet, he's on the mound tonight, means for the Padres here, and what he's going to be looking for after going 45-45 in the first half. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah.
Don't forget to visit our website for breaking news, local original content. We got a new podcast up yesterday. Also, if you missed Keith Law, like earlier this morning on the Padres prospects in his new top 50, got five of them in there. Great breakdown of some of the top Padres in the minor leagues. You can go to 97.3thefansd.com. Get all of that content from us, the coach John Quintero, Gwynn and Chris, and more. We are about to be joined by the manager of the San Diego Padres, Andy Green. And this is Friar Friday on 97.3 The Fan, presented by Penske Honda Chula Vista. And this is the portion of Friar Friday that we like to call the Management Report.
Are you ready to find out what's going on with the Padres?
They love it. They love it. And what's not to love?
Let's go right to the source. It's the Padres Management Report on Friar Friday. Right here on your home of the Padres.
Colonel, we got to throw a star.
97.3 The Fan.
So, Woodsy, this is where we get input from people at, like, the managerial level of the Padres. Like, the manager.
Makes sense.
The Padres.
It's not a subtle point we're making
Andy
here.
Andy Green, who joins us right now on our SDCCU fan hotline. Team gets ready for the second half of the season starting tonight against the Atlanta Braves. Andy, good to have you back here on the home of the Padres, 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, good being back with you guys. How are we doing this morning?
Doing great.
I'm just going to jump right in with a tough question. How did you spend your All-Star break, Andy?
All my time with my three girls. We
good
had
for
a
you.
Vacation. We had a vacation rental we rented just to get away from our house, and spent a lot of time at the pool swimming. So we had a great time. It was relaxing. We stayed right around here in San Diego. Why would you leave? Some of my players went to other places. Doesn't even make sense to vacation elsewhere. But we enjoyed just being around here. It was a great time.
Gosh, Andy, we were so ready to just hold your feet to the fire this morning. Then you had to go out and win three straight against the Dodgers to wrap up the first half. That was pretty special. I know a lot of Padre fans felt the same way. And to go into that building and whip up on those guys like you guys did, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was a good finish to the half. Obviously an up and down half for us. It ended right at 500, but you know, a good note to end it on. Shoot, we come right back here and play probably what's been the second best team in the National League to start the second half. The Braves have been hot. They've been playing really good baseball. Hoping that All-Star break cooled them down a little bit, and it'll be a challenge to get back in the win column right away, but we're excited for that challenge.
Certainly great to see Denelson Lamet back after his Tommy John surgery in L.A. Padres fans will get a chance to see him in person tonight if you haven't changed any of the matchups for the series. So, let me ask you, and I'll give you the wiggle room that obviously things can change as the season goes along, but what is kind of the plan for the pitching rotation? You got a bunch of guys, you're still trying to limit innings for certain young players like Chris Paddock and Matt Strom. What's kind of, as you look now, your pitching rotation plan for the second half?
Yeah, we have a lot of young starters that we believe a lot in, and we're probably going to have a little bit of a revolving door to an extent with a few of them. A couple of those guys are going to be locked in there. I think we'd expect Lauer, Lucchese, Paddock, Lamet to be locked in there. And that fifth/sixth spot will be rotating to some degree as we move forward into the second half as we look to solidify our bullpen a little bit more, kind of lengthen that pin out. We've had three guys that have been really solid for us for the majority of the year down there. Obviously anchored by Kirby Yates, but you know, we got to solidify that bullpen to be able to get through that sixth and seventh inning, especially considering some of our guys like Lamet and Paddock, they're definitely on pitch counts right now. We haven't been shy about sharing that with people. We've you know, we've been thinking about their health all season long to make sure they're impactful for us for years to come. So having guys that can solidify those middle innings is big to us winning baseball games consistently.
Talking to Padres manager Andy Green here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, obviously, did you watch the All-Star game?
I did. I was waiting for Kirby to get in there.
We all were, and that's kind of leads me into my next question. Look, as a manager, it probably doesn't break your heart that he didn't go out there like your former player Brad Hand and have to throw 35 pitches, especially after the series. That you guys worked him pretty good there in L.A. to wrap it up, and hey, it was great. It worked out. Everybody's happy. When you don't see Kirby get in the game, do you and some of the other players are you pissed off about it? Are you kind of mad? Are you like, hey, what's the deal?
No, there is a part of me that was very excited that he got a little bit of time to rest, because those three games, the three most taxing games he threw back to back to back all season long, went an inning plus the first day for a 5-out save, and then came back and saved the next two. I wanted it for him. I wanted it for his family. I wanted it for everybody there that he get the chance to get in the game. No knock on Dave on this one. Kirby was up in the bullpen in the eighth inning with one out. He was going to get the last out of that inning. He was set up to save that game had they had the chance to. And while he was up in the bullpen, they hit into a double play to end that inning, which eliminated his chance to even get in there for an out. So, saving your closer for the last out in the eighth and being available for the ninth if you got the lead, there's really no knock on that. It's just kind of unfortunate circumstances. Would have loved to see him get in that game, but he needed some rest, too, at the same time. We're excited for him, excited for the second half, and, I'll put him right back on the mound to save three straight against the Braves if I get the chance to.
It's our Friar Friday management report. We're talking to Padres skipper Andy Green here on Ben and Woods. And, Andy, I think any reasonable person viewing the first half has to be pretty encouraged by what we saw. As you said, obviously a little up and down, but 45-45, still in the wild card race, just two games out. Now we're kind of looking into the second half and trying to set those expectations. Do you have anything in your mind that you'd like to see? Clearly improvement's always an answer that you give, but in terms of results in the second half, is there anything that you're looking for specifically that you'd like?
I think we have the ability to really solidify that bullpen with a number of quality arms. It might take us doing some unconventional things, but in order to do that, we're going to have some pitchers that are flexible, moving around roles a little bit. And I think if we do that, we're going to see the results you're talking about. This team's fighting for a playoff spot. I've been talking about it since the very beginning of spring training, since the day we signed Manny. The belief in the clubhouse exists. That's a powerful thing. That belief hasn't wavered, even if it's wavered publicly at times. When you get swept by a team, we come right back. We punch right back. We're not a good enough ball club to go out and just show up and beat anybody. We have to show up and put out at the same time. We got to play, and we got to play well. So as we get into this second half, there's going to be teams that don't have the record that we have that we got to take care of business against. But we also got to realize the National League has a ton of parity this year. And the separators between the Chicago Cubs at the top of their division and the Cincinnati Reds at the bottom of their division is four games. They're pretty much the same club to some degree. They're all good baseball clubs. So we can't look at the standings and think we got an easy series coming up. There really aren't the easy series in the National League right now.
Talking to Andy Green here on Ben and Woods this morning. Andy, I don't know if you had a chance over the break to read the Union Tribune, a piece written about you. I don't know how much you read, your own press clippings or whatever, but I just had one question. It was a quote in there, and it said Andy Green might be the biggest enigma of all 30 managers in baseball. Are you an enigma, Andy?
Not to my wife, maybe to some people out there watching. I don't know where that quote even came from, who said that, if that's just straight from the
It was like
article.
Anonymous scout.
I got it right in front of me. A well-connected national writer. Could be anyone.
We got bloggers that are national writers now.
That's the enigma, is who the actual
Bobby
person
Blogger
is.
Bobby Blogger gets a shout-out from Andy Green.
Bobby Blogger, everybody.
I think, as an organization, we've been pretty steadfast in our desire to keep things in-house.
Yeah.
Things that were important to us, things that we think provide us a competitive advantage, that's directed by AJ, by ownership. It's their passion to do that because they think it provides a competitive advantage. So there's a lot of stuff after games, before games, that we hold to ourselves that probably would be really entertaining for fans to know about, but it might give up a little bit of a competitive advantage. And, you know, we're out there trying to win baseball games, not necessarily a popularity contest. And in winning those baseball games, we'll sacrifice just about anything to win those games. So if we think there's a competitive advantage, we're going to keep things to ourselves. And if that ends up making me an enigma to some people out there, I've never been one to go out and seek out articles to be written about me, never been one to go out there and try to get press coverage or try to connect with writers. Like, my job, it's the Padres. To do everything possible to put these guys in a position to succeed. Sometimes I feel like I do that well. Other days I go home and, you know, beat myself up about it at the end of the night if it doesn't go well. But at the same time, like, I'm not out there trying to get national writers to know me. If through the course of baseball we get that opportunity, I'm excited to get to know all of them. But I'm not trying to make that happen. If that makes me an enigma, so be it.
If you're not wearing an enigma T-shirt the next time we see you at the ballpark.
T-shirts are big in his clubhouse.
I know T-shirts are big. If you don't have a white shirt with black enigma across the front of it, I think that you might have dropped a ball on this one. That's just an idea. You can have it for free, Andy.
I appreciate that. That would probably draw too much attention to myself, but I like where you're coming from.
Exactly. We've got
some humor in that.
Exactly.
Andy, we got some great listeners who threw out some ideas for questions. John had one I thought was interesting. You've kind of settled on at least a top five in your lineup lately. First 3 years, I mean, we could see 140 different lineups from Andy Green. At least the top five lately with Fernando Tatis Jr., Eric Hosmer, Manny Machado, Franmil Reyes, Hunter Renfroe. You've been very consistent on that. Is that the plan going forward? And what is it that you like about that specific ordering of those guys who are clearly your top five hitters right now?
Yeah, I think for the first few years, we were trying to find anything that worked. And in searching for that, it ultimately requires very talented baseball players to have an efficient offense at the major league level. We have those now. I think we're excited to have those guys. I think in general, like, yeah, you'd probably expect to see that lineup consistently. The 4 and 5 hole might change based on the matchup. Those two guys flipping back and forth. And occasionally, you know, we're getting a Josh Naylor out there against a really tough righty who's got crazy strong splits. A guy like Mike Soroka on the last day of the series who's been absolutely dominant against right-handed hitters this year. I think those are the days you look up and you find a lefty in there, and it looks like a rest day to some guys that are watching as fans, but it's also strategic to some degree as well to get Josh in there and keep him going. But I think for the most part, yeah, we'd expect to see those five guys near the top of our batting order consistently, and, you know, most of those guys taking very, very few days off.
But just like, I mean, the traditional Fernando Tatis, you like him at the leadoff position because of the speed, the on-base, you know, Hosmer in terms of what he can do with the bat and go the other way. Certainly when you got a runner on base, that's helpful. Manny's your prototypical third guy. Is it as obvious as it looks to me is why you're doing all this?
Yeah, it's not complicated. Okay. Those are the guys that are getting on base and driving and runs.
Right. Easy enough.
Yeah, those Tatis is he's been pretty special there at the top, being a catalyst for us. So I'd love to hit him in about six other spots in the order simultaneously and just let him play all over. But you only allowed to hit him in one spot.
Yeah, unfortunately, until the rules eventually change to make the game more quote-unquote exciting. Padres skipper, which it's perfect the
have
way
that
it is.
Have you had him working on stealing first yet?
Yeah, have you heard about that in the Atlantic League? You can now steal first. Would you be in favor of that because you have Tatis?
I tell you what, that would have gotten me on base a few more times. You know, if you can swing wildly and miss the pitch over your head that goes to the backstop, yep, and still get the first base, man, I would have liked that lowering of the bar. It would have made me a much better player.
Oh, you and me both. It's Padres skipper Andy Green on with Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, one of the probably the most talked about topics or people, he's not a topic, he's a person, Will Myers. Will Myers has had a rough go at the start of the year. Those couple weeks at the beginning, though, kind of gave us all the glimpse into what that man can really do on a baseball field. He essentially carried that team to that 11-5 start that you guys got off on that really excited our whole city, you know, and for what we do for a living, and certainly for what you do for a living, made your life a little easier. Hasn't gone that well since, Andy. What's your overall assessment on you know, Will Myers over the break, Will Myers in the second half of the season? You know, what do you want to see from him?
Yeah, Will, obviously very talented, capable of just about anything on a baseball field at any point in time, and he's been through a lot of streaks throughout the course of his career here in San Diego. As soon as he catches a hot streak, I think we catch him in the lineup a lot more consistently because he's been the type of guy that can carry you. You know, we're just at a different place. We're just not riding guys through really down streaks right now. And we've got other guys that can step up and help us win baseball games. Manny Margot's played really well in center field, and those two guys on the corners are, you know, top five in Major League Baseball in home runs right now. So, you know, we're watching Will work hard every single day. We'd love to see Will get going. You know, he's going to have kind of that bench role for the time being, and as that changes in time, he'll have the opportunity to work himself back into the mix more consistently. But he's talented. He's part of what we're doing, and we need him to be a big part of it for us to be as good as we can be.
Last thing for me, Andy. It is that time of year. I mean, Will's name, Kirby Yates, guys in your own clubhouse. If you want to add players, obviously that also means giving up players. Do you have to be a bit more of a counselor right now, or is that not an issue in your clubhouse and guys worried about the trade deadline and what could be coming up next?
I think in Kirby's case, in the case of like most of our veteran guys, they're really good at controlling what's controllable. And for us, that's going out winning baseball games. If we go out and win baseball games, we know we're going to be added to instead of taken away from. And I think that's exciting. AJ is always going to be opportunistic. He's always going to look at the long and the short-term view as well. You know, I know he's going to be working like crazy over the next couple weeks. But our job in the clubhouse, stay focused, win baseball games. I think our guys do a very good job of that.
Also, don't forget, continue to be an enigma. That's got to go into the goals of the second half, Andy.
The top of the list.
Top of the list. All right, good.
Good luck against the Braves this weekend. Looking forward to it. Then back out on the road. So if we don't see you for a while, good luck, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Skip.
Andy Green on our managerial report. Here, let's hear what it says, because we got to close for it, I think.
Are you ready to find out what's going on with the Padres?
They love it. They love it. And what's not to love?
Let's go right to the source. It's the Padres management report.
Sounds more like an open.
That was the open. Then we don't have a close, and it's the management report.
The management report.
Thank you very much, with Andy Green. That was smooth.
Very smooth. It's a very smooth, polished show.
All right, what did we learn? It's always good at the end. What did we learn talking to Andy Green?
Will Myers is going to be on the bench.
Is he raising your hand?
Will Myers is going to be on the bench.
Which makes him hard to trade when he's on the bench.
Like we said early on, this team believes they're a playoff team. They're fighting for a spot. Yeah. There is a belief in that clubhouse.
He did say that from the beginning.
Yeah, he did.
He kind of said it last year, too. I mean, as much conviction last year. He actually said it with some conviction this year.
Well, yeah, 2 years ago when they were trying not to lose 100 games, I bet he said in spring training, our goal is to win the World Series this year.
This is not a major league Cleveland Indians situation where the entire world says, you've got no hope, and let's go and prove everyone wrong. I mean, there's certainly – I saw Harold Reynolds pick the Padres to make the playoffs in the second half of the season, the big lead.
Pretty much a curse for us if Harold Reynolds picked us.
But it's not like everyone's saying, oh, this team is one of the worst in baseball.
No, it's not like the Marlins going and winning 35 games in a row and making the playoffs. No, it's they've got the talent to be a playoff team.
So it's not that sort of we need to rally together and prove our critics wrong. I think it's just more of a you look around and you see a player like Manny Machado and you see Fernando Tatis Jr. and you see the power you've got with Renfroe and Reyes and the way that some of the young arms, when they look good, can get guys out. I mean, I think the last week or 2 weeks or something, they've had like the fourth best starters ERA in baseball, which has been a great improvement. And when you put all that together and you're sitting in there, it's like, why not us? I mean, what is it that makes the Rockies or the Cardinals or the Pirates or any of these other teams that are hanging around 500, what makes them more legitimate playoff contenders than us?
It just and it's funny because it doesn't matter what a team has done in the past, but baseball's a weird sport. They're like, well, the Cardinals are obviously in a much better position because they're the Cardinals. That stops, though. That stops now. That stops with Tatis. It stops with Manny. It stops with Mackenzie Gore coming up. It stops with Paddock. We are going to be the new Cardinals. We are going to be the new Cubs. It's going to take a lot of getting used to for the fans. Going to take a lot of getting used to, I think, for some of the players.
Yeah, I mean,
here.
It used to be you'd look at those other rosters and you'd be like, "Oh, they've got superstar players. Yeah, they've got all these.
We got them.
Padres have those players.
It's a weird feeling.
And now it's just a matter of which of those players executes and has big second halves. I mean, if Manny Machado goes on a huge tear in the second half, he can lift the Padres to several wins down there. If Chris Paddock makes the most of the pitches that he's got left and turns in, you know, four or five dominating starts, if Denelson Lamet, you know, shows some of that brilliance that we saw before his injury and that he did in his rehab assignments, and, you know, all of a sudden a winning streak doesn't seem that out of the question. Oh, that's another good guy we got going. Oh, he's pitching well. Oh, yeah, guys are hitting well. All of a sudden you've won seven in a row, and instead of two games back in the wild card race, you're a game and a half up. And I'm not saying that is going to happen. In fact, I think the Padres are still a little bit away from that, but it's definitely in the realm of possibility.
It 100% is. I'm so excited to get this second half kicked off tonight. Going to be out of Petco Park. Just elated to get it going. And that's a really good feeling for living in San Diego and rooting hard for this team. Second half starts tonight, man. Let's get out there. Let's get out there and show our support and cheer loud and, you know, F the Braves.
Other thing that that I took from Andy Green, he knows the stat. The last month, the last 28 games for the Padres, they are 14-6 against the Dodgers, the Nationals, the Cardinals, the Rockies, the Brewers, and then those two wins against Baltimore. But other than that, all of those teams are playoff contenders or will be in the playoffs. They're 0-8 against the Giants and the Pirates. As he said, we cannot take any series off. We cannot take any teams lightly. There's no team that, other than maybe the Baltimore Orioles, and you've only got two more against them at Petco Park later, that you should just say, oh, we definitely have this series. Everyone else, you could get swept at a moment's notice the way they did by the Giants and the Pirates last month if you're not careful.
Agreed, man. I'm so excited to get it going. It goes tonight. I've got some breaking news, though, Ben.
Okay.
I told you I had a Seal scoop. San Diego Seals, our beloved Seals, have just acquired basically the Manny Machado of the NLL. Wesley Berg is now a San Diego Seal. Ben, does this do anything for you?
They already have the Tatis of lacrosse
in Austin Stotts. Yep.
And now they have the Machado.
They do. He
of
is
lacrosse.
This guy has scored 99 goals in 54 games. We have traded for him. He was a Calgary Roughneck. He sat out all last year. Word is he wanted to be in San Diego. He's really excited to be here, and we've got him. And next year, watch out.
So if the Padres don't make the playoffs this year, we can count on the Seals bringing a championship to San Diego this winter.
1,000%. Let's go. We've got time to put their feet to the fire.
Love to hear it. It has been a great week, even though there was no games going on. We still made it through. Quick congratulations, shout out, a miss. We're going to miss him, Jeff McBrayer. He is done after today. We appreciated everything this last month. Thank you, Absolutely. Jeff.
Thank you, guys.
Couldn't have done it without
so
you, man. Thank you.
Hammer, Paul, Woodsy are all back on Monday. I'm taking a day off.
All I want to do is zoom,
gonna
zoom,
be
zoom,
in.
Zoom.
Coach coming up at noon after Jim Rome. He is up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.